left center field. And that ball is gone. Bobby Witt Jr. is the Royals' first hit and first run. And that's five home runs for the Royals in the first two games of the series with Chicago.
But unfortunately, the only home run that the Royals would have last night. Royals lose to the White Sox in Chicago. Final score was 4-2. As the White Sox hit solo homers off of Royals starter Chris Bubich to take a 2-1 lead, go on to win it. Bubich, 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs. He's now 2-10 on the year. Royals are 53-78. Finished their 3-game series today at 1-10 against former Royal and World Series hero Johnny Cueto, who's on the hill for the White Sox as the Royals complete their season series with Chicago. Tony La Russa not with the team, gone due to medical reasons, so we'll continue to follow that story. Coming up, college football playoff, or it's going to change. Big 12 teams in action when it comes to college football. And we got lots of local sports, plus the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Heaney, coming up in a little while. And the Broncos are shelling out a lot of money for a 33-year-old player. We'll tell you who that is coming up here in just a moment. All right, so we've got a lot going on tonight. Lots of sports on the docket. I'll jump into the volleyball part, and then we'll go through the scheduling thing, and then we'll go into football, and then we'll go into cross country and our interview with Coach Letourneau. We'll start with volleyball because tonight we'll have a live video stream with announcing on ncksports.com, the Blake Trojan channel. Pretty big volleyball match tonight early in the season. It's not going to really have any impact on seeds and stuff for state or anything like that, but a great barometer match, and it's right there in Beloit. So I encourage you to go out and watch some really good volleyball. You got two of the best teams in the state doing battle in Beloit at the high school. It'll be the Beloit Lady Trojans, who are 4-1 after a nice tournament at Hayes where they finished third. They ranked fourth in 3A, finished fourth in state a year ago in 3A, taking on Ellenwood, who made state a year ago. They finished fourth in 2A. They have almost everybody back except for one player. They were 35-80 a year ago. They're ranked number two in 2A. So you got the highly ranked teams. So you got Beloit in 3A, and you've got Ellenwood in 2A, and then Beloit will play Ellsworth probably around 7 or later in the other match, and Ellsworth might be the biggest contender for Beloit in the NCAA. So it's a big night for volleyball for the Beloit Lady Trojans, and Brandy Paul on the competition tonight.
So we'll see Ellenwood first. That's going to be some great competition for us. It was a hard-fought battle last year. We're two close sets with them, and they bring pretty much their whole team back. They're solid and senior strong. So that's going to be some great competition to see where we're at. And then, of course, Ellsworth's always tough. Amy up there does a great job with them, and they're always ready. And our league schools always seem to play tougher games against us and are ready for us. So the girls going to have to be ready. We may play some different options just with injuries we have and see how it goes. But I think the girls are super excited to have this first home game.
Amy is Amy Johnson, head coach Ellsworth, who is Keith Christine's sister.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's another connection to the Beloit area, and she's coached there at Ellsworth for quite some time. So Beloit, two very interesting matches tonight. We'll have the Beloit-Ellenwood match at 5 o'clock, and there'll be Ellenwood-Ellsworth around 6 or later. I mean, who knows? Ellenwood-Beloit could go three sets and last a while, and Beloit's still dealing with the injury of Miley Brown, trying to heal up her ankle. I think she's healthier going into the day than she was at the Hayes tournament, so we'll see how she's used due to that ankle injury she suffered in late July. And then the final match will be Ellsworth and Beloit. We'll stream all three matches. We've been asked to if we could stream the Ellsworth-Ellenwood match, so we will stream that one as well. We're there anyway. So we'll have all those matches tonight from Beloit. A very interesting slate of matches at Beloit High School tonight. Once again, starting a little ahead of 5 o'clock, live video streaming at ncksports.com, the Beloit Trojan channel. All right, locker room chats. Let's go through that real quick. We had the first ones yesterday, and then we have locker room chats today for high school football.
Yeah, we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas football here tonight, and those will begin at about 5:15 this evening on Katy Country 94 and always online at katycountry94.com.
And our broadcast schedule for tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow night we have high school football. We'll get things started. Football Express at 5:40 to preview all the area league games, and then we'll have on Katy Country 94 pregame 6:30 kickoff, 7 o'clock. It's Sylvan Lucas hosting Lincoln. Jason will have the call on that one. Then Todd and myself will be in Beloit for St. John's, Tipton, and Rock Hills. Pregame 6:30 kickoff, 7 o'clock on Z96. 96.3 through the Lake and katycountry94.com. And then online video stream of the Lit Trojan Channel. The Trojans taking on Ellsworth tomorrow night at nckssports.com. So you can check that out. Stream will start around 6:45, kickoff 7 o'clock for Beloit and Ellsworth tomorrow night.
All right. Want to go through the schedule for today?
Yeah, other volleyball matches that are going on today. Thunder Ridge is at the Northern Valley Triangular with Northern Valley and Plainville. That'll start varsity action at 5 o'clock. And Concordia is the Abilene Quad, TMP Smoky Valley, the other two teams, as well as Concordia and Abilene that are there. 4 o'clock start time this afternoon. Also in girls tennis, Osborne and Beloit at the Clay Center Quad, and Concordia is at the Chapman Quad. Both of those events getting underway at 3 o'clock this afternoon. A lot of area cross-country teams will be opening their seasons today at 3 o'clock at the Tescott Invitational. Lakeside, Osborne, Lincoln, Sylvan Lucas, and Pike Valley runners will compete there. And then 4:15 this afternoon, St. John's and Beloit, as well as Concordia, obviously from the area, will be competing at the Concordia Invitational here this afternoon. So that's a look at what's going on as far as the local sports schedule is concerned for today.
All right, so let's go ahead and slide into cross country since we, Dusty, had a chance to catch up with St. John's cross country coach Ben Letourneau. And then after that, we'll preview Osborne starting their football season tonight against Hill City.
Welcome back on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94 as we are joined now by Ben Letourneau, the head coach of the St. John's cross country team, getting sent for another season here, coach. And obviously, you guys have built up kind of a good tradition with cross country there at St. John's, some state championships for the boys in the past. And last year, you qualified your entire team for state on the boys' side and also had Jane Letourneau that made it to state on the girls' side for you. Just kind of looking at what you do have this year and how things are going, everybody really back that qualified for states, so I'm guessing you have some high hopes for this group this year.
Yeah, we sure do. We had a really young team last year and still a pretty young team this year, especially on the boys' side. We've got eight out for the boys. We returned everybody that was out last year. We've got one senior, Sergio Lopez. For juniors, we've got Chris LaRock and Andy Prather. Sophomores, Jonas Letourneau, Nicholas Niewald, and Henry Holdren. We've got two new freshmen, Nick Clark and Paul Barobia. So, yeah, a little bit of growth on the boys' side. Again, we've returned everybody that we had last year and then brought on some new ones. Jonas was the only placer at state last year. We did take our boys' team, but we didn't place as a team last year at state. Hoping to change that a little bit this year. Everybody's been running well, so we've got some pretty high expectations of what the guys will be able to do. Girls side, unfortunately, don't have enough for a team. We've only got three girls out. Jane Letourneau is a senior this year. Emma Mick is a junior. And then Claire Meyer is a sophomore. So not enough for a girls team, but we just look forward to seeing what they can do individually.
What's standing out so far for you as far as practices are concerned and getting yourself prepared for the season?
So we've been practicing in the mornings this year at 6 a.m. So what's standing out to me is the fact that I've got a dedicated group that's willing to get up at that early in the morning, get to practice, and get it done before school starts. And then they're doing some running in the afternoons on their own, too. So really a hardworking group. Where we were so young last year with so many freshmen and sophomores, you know, just seeing the growth of, especially the guys, you know, they change a lot between their freshman and sophomore year. So I'm seeing a lot more strength, and I think that's going to translate into some pretty good placings for them. Jonas is running really well again, and so is Nicholas. I think they're going to do well as a team, and they really push each other too. So they're a really tight knit group together. They have a lot of fun. And they're pretty competitive even within the team, too. So that's all of what it takes to make a good program.
I know I was talking with Coach Mason over at Beloit yesterday, and he talked about the fact that, you know, you practice in the morning, but it's going to be warm when you go to your first meet coming up here today at Concordia. So kind of looking at that, what's the approach you take with that? I know you said the kids are doing some running on their own in the afternoon, probably to acclimate themselves to that. But what's the approach you take on a warm day compared to what you might see later on in the season as you get ready for this one in Concordia?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and the heat is always an issue, especially the first couple of meets of the season. You know, I've always wondered why we don't do like a Saturday morning meet in the early September, but that's just how it goes, I know. So they do need to be out and running in the afternoon to get acclimated, but even then, you just really can't hardly prepare for that. So it's usually just kind of dialing it back a little bit. I always tell them don't stress about your time so much for those hotter meets, because you're just never going to perform quite as well as when the weather's better. You know, we've seen a lot of kids go down in races. I mean, a couple of years ago at Concordia, the girl that would have won the girls' race ended up going to the hospital instead because she had a heat stroke. So you just got to dial it back a little bit and maybe not push quite as hard as you would if the weather was better. So, but that doesn't mean you still can't place well, because everybody's running in the same kind of conditions.
As far as Concordia meet, what do you expect the competition to look like here this year?
We're really the only small school there, so you know, it's going to be Concordia, Beloit, Clay Center, Minneapolis, you know, Ellsworth. So we're the small school there. I think our guys can do well. I know Jane will be able to run right up there with the leaders, and Emma's running really well too. So on the girls' side, I think they'll be able to place well. I guess we'll find out. I don't know exactly how those other teams are running. And just because they're big schools doesn't mean that we can't hang with them. But, you know, like Clay Center, they've got to always have a strong program, always have some really talented runners. Minneapolis, on the girls' side especially, they've got some really good distance runners. So it'll be competitive for sure.
Ben Letourneau, the coach of the St. John's Blue Jay Cross Country teams. Coach, we thank you for joining us, and best of luck as you open out the season at Concordia.
Thanks a lot, Dusty.
Yeah, again, Beloit also at Concordia this afternoon in cross-country action with St. John's. Concordia there as well at 4:15. So, again, they'll start cross-country here this afternoon. If you miss any of those interviews that we've done for preview interviews, you can always go back and listen to those there on our podcast at katycountry94.com. Follow me on Twitter at Dusty40. I'm always tweeting out those as well as our locker room chats. If you missed those from last night, on the locker room chat podcast at katycountry94.com. There's one high school football game today as Osborne is opening out their season tonight, taking on the Hill City Ringnecks. Osborne coming off of a 6-3 season a year ago. They do lose eight-man All-Stars Mason Scher and Dayton Lance, but have Connor Scher back from injury, and Doak Guttery's back at quarterback and on defense, among others that are back for Osborne this year after a 6-3 finish. Hill City lost a couple eight-man All-Stars. They went 10-2 last year. They were semifinalists on the western side of the bracket in eight-man Division One. They have Aiden Amrine back at quarterback, through and ran for over 1,000 last year. Also Caleb Atkins at running back, a good core group there for Hill City. So it should be an interesting game tonight. Again, it's going to kick off at 7:30 here this evening between Hill City and Osborne. Since they're not going to be on the Football Express, we're kind of previewing that game. And Steve Tiernan had a comment about Hill City and expects them to be a solid team here tonight.
Well, I'm sure they're going to be very good. And really, there's no better test. I mean, 2 weeks of beating on each other, 2.5 weeks of beating on each other to go play a team that is going to be good. You just hope that, you know, if it doesn't go our way, that our heads don't get down. But hopefully we do well enough that it's something to learn by and make switches if we need to make switches. But I do think that Hill City is going to be pretty good.
Hill City and Osborne, 7:30 tonight at Liberty Field in Osborne. The junior high is going to play Hill City first about 5:30, and then the varsity high school will come in right behind them. So it's a night of football if you're a Bullpup and Bulldog fan to get out there to Liberty Field and check out the teams here as they open out the season tonight.
Officials get to do doubleheader duty as well, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Junior high to high school? Yeah, that's part of the reason why that was moved to the
night.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll preview all the matchups tomorrow. We'll have a recap of Hill City Osborne on the Football Express.
Yes.
That's the first time we've done something like that in quite some time. All right, that cover local sports?
Yeah, it does.
We good?
NCKSSports.com for all of it.
Bingo. All right, we got to get Cubs update with Jason. The Cubs win?
Yes, 7-5, 56-75. They actually got one in Toronto.
Son of a gun, they gained a
Luke
game on the
Luke Farrell started that game.
Who's Luke Farrell?
Wasn't he an old Royals farmhand? It was kind of supposed
to be.
Oh,
yeah, he was
John
Farrell's son. Yeah. That's good to know. He goes from losing organization to another losing organization. Well, at least he's pitching better than what I am. I'm not pitching anymore. Well, good for the Cubs, knocking off our enemy from Canada, Toronto. Well played. Let's see. We mentioned the Royals lost last night. Back in action this afternoon against former World Series hero Johnny Cueto. The college football season already underway with Week 0 last week. For some Husker fans, they would say they wish it didn't start last week. Two Big 12 teams begin their season tonight. 12th-ranked Oklahoma State hosts Central Michigan at 6 o'clock on FS1, and number 17 West Virginia travels to Pittsburgh tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Pittsburgh will have a new quarterback. That'll be interesting. And also tonight in the Big 10, pretty big game, Purdue hosting Penn State at 7 o'clock on Fox. Is the college football playoff going to change? Well, I'm praying it would. That'd be great. College Football Playoff Board of Managers will meet tomorrow.
tomorrow with a goal of adopting an expanded playoff bracket as soon as the 2024 season. The bracket would likely expand to 12 teams under the leading proposal, which was the original concept put in front of stakeholders from the College Football Playoff Working Group in June of 2021. The vote must be unanimous by 11 members of the board. If expansion is instituted in 2024, ESPN will still have the rights to all the games for the final 2 years of a 12-year deal. There's even a concept out there to expand to 16. And I say, why haven't we done this before? You know, they say that this is going to bring in over $1 billion if they expand. Right now, $600 million. And I've said this until the cows come home, that I never understood why you limit it to the four. Go ahead, if you're going to go and call it a playoff, then make it a real playoff from the very beginning, instead of putting your toe in the water, and you'll make you've lost out on money the last few years.
Absolutely.
That's what blows me away. These guys are money-grubbing people, but yet they've wanted to keep certain things intact and bowl games and this and that. It's like, dude, if you want to have a legitimate playoff like everybody else does in every other division of football, believe it or not, high school, Division II, Division III, FCS, hello, NFL, how can you guys not do the same thing in college football? Well, perhaps we're getting closer to that. That would be great. Here's the head scratcher of the day for me, guys. This is breaking news out of the NFL. I understand taking care of your quarterback. I get that. I always said if you're going to spend a lot of money on a guy, it's going to be the quarterback. But what if he's 33? If Mahomes is kicking butt at 33, I'll say yes, okay? Tom Brady, he was just getting into his prime at 33. The Denver Broncos and 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback Russell Wilson, who's 33, have agreed on a contract extension today. The extension is worth $245 million over 5 years. The key, of course, guaranteed money. $165 million in guaranteed. That is third, all right, behind Kyler Murray and I forgot the other one. That's more than Mahomes even.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, everybody talking about Mahomes getting this crazy, that's insane, the money he's making. It looks like a really good deal with every signing of another quarterback. Let me tell you something, Mahomes' deal looks extremely great compared to Russell Wilson and the Broncos giving him $165 million guaranteed at the age of 33. Now, Russell Wilson might be able to play 5 full years, and he might live up to the contract. But when you give guys a ton of money at the age of 33, even at quarterback, typically that doesn't work. Now, Tom Brady's worked. He keeps going. Aaron Rodgers has worked. Maybe quarterback is the exception to the rule in some cases than it used to be, but I'm blown away that the Broncos gave him that much money, and he hasn't taken a snap in a regular season game with Denver. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously he's their man. They gave up a lot to get him, but I don't know. Did they have to do this? It's not like Russell Wilson's going to talk his way out. He just got to Denver. But anywho, or they're just thinking they're going to save money ahead of the curve before more and more contracts come out with Burrow and Herbert and others. Al RS is.
I'm just
Lamar Jackson's in negotiations, right, too.
I'm kind of surprised it's 5. Yeah, I thought that it might be 3. Yeah. But you
of
know.
Course, there's no guarantee of that. Like Michael Vick had like a 7-year, $100 million deal, and everybody freaked out about it. But one, he didn't get even close. I think he had like $20 million of that, and he didn't even come close to filling the 7 years.
Right.
So it's not like baseball where it's guaranteed through the length of the contract. So I will say that when you get the year thing isn't as big a deal in the NFL because they can cut Russell Wilson after next year if he blows out his ACL. It's all the money guaranteed you're giving a guy.
It's where that guaranteed money stops. Yeah. So it takes a steep dive.
Sure.
That's really how long the contract is.
Yes.
It probably is about 3 years in real terms.
Probably,
but
so.
Yeah.
Man.
It's a lot of money.
I understand if he's 27, but 33, I don't know, man. That's a lot. But go for it, I guess. Not my money. Why do I care?
Yeah. I don't know that that's a move that I would make, but
they did.
Power to the Broncos and Russell Wilson.
Yeah. All right, the U.S. Open, Serena pulls off the upset last night against a 2-seed.
Yeah, she won in 3 sets there and moves on to the third round. Nothing really outlandish. Maria Sakkari, the number 3 seed, did get beat out yesterday. Men's side, everything pretty much stayed where it needed to be, except for Felix Auger-Aliassime, the number 6 seed from Canada.
That was good. Can you pronounce that?
No.
I can't.
No, he just said it. I can't do it.
Right.
I feel it.
So,
Felix
is pretty clean. Medvedev won in straight sets last night, the number 1 seed.
I'm tongue twisted, and I didn't even say it out loud. That was pretty good. Hey, that's why we turn over the Bud Collins Jr. over here.
I wouldn't have known it had I not seen it happen.
Well done. So let me go back to Russell Wilson real quick before we bring in Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, as they're going to start their season tomorrow night against Tennessee Tech. Let's go for it. Ready? What quarterbacks in the league are better than Russell Wilson right now?
Oh, man.
Ready? Mahomes, obviously.
Yeah. Rodgers.
Josh Allen.
I'll say Herbert.
Herbert, yeah.
Burrow.
I'll go Burrow.
Matt Stafford's better than Russell Wilson
Stafford,
in my eyes.
Okay. Lamar Jackson?
I think so.
Yeah, I'll say yeah. But
why does everybody hesitate? His passing numbers are better than people think, and his run. I mean, Russell Wilson doesn't beat you with his legs as much anymore as he used to.
True.
Let's say it's close.
Yeah.
All right. I got Lamar over him. Kyler Murray.
I say yeah right now.
You say Kyler over Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
So Kyler, but you hesitate on Lamar. That's interesting. Lamar's accomplished way more than Kyler.
I know. It's just
interesting.
It's just a different
style. It's a knock on Lamar. Yeah,
it is. It is. I have nothing against Lamar.
I don't either. Let's see. Any other quarterbacks that are better than Russell Wilson?
Maybe. Did we say Burrow?
Yep. Yeah, I said Burrow. Yep. Yeah. We said Stafford. Winston's probably not.
No.
Brady.
Yeah, we didn't put Brady on the coach. How did we miss Brady? I think that was just an automatic, right?
Brady's just like, you don't even think about it. It's like that's that another level that you just whatever.
Yeah.
Mahomes is on our mind because he's right here.
Right. Oh, Prescott is.
Dak, yeah. I mean, I could argue Derek Carr is better than Russell Wilson right now.
Okay. I'll definitely say Prescott, though.
I don't know. I'm not going to say that.
Jalen Hurts? Probably not.
Probably not yet.
Not yet. Daniel Jones, no.
No.
Washington doesn't have. I don't know who.
Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah. No. Matt Ryan? I'd say no.
Not anymore.
No.
I don't think Matt Ryan probably
Deshaun
ever was.
Watson. Deshaun Watson, you could.
If he's, but yeah, we just don't know.
Yeah. You could argue Watson.
I mean, Deshaun Watson would be if it's just a normal discussion of who they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Tua? No.
No.
Tyreek Hill would say so. Yeah, who am I missing here? I'm sure I'm missing somebody.
Trey Lance, Jimmy G. I'm just kind of going through the.
Yeah.
Obviously not anybody from
Justin
Seattle.
Justin Fields isn't there. What about Kirk Cousins? Probably not.
I'll take Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Kirk Cousins has ridiculous numbers, which is wild that we just don't even talk about him.
I know.
I would.
In the biggest moments, he doesn't seem.
And that's and that's. I think that's probably part of that. The knock for Lamar Jackson for me is not probably.
Yeah.
The passing thing as much anymore as it is what has he actually done.
Yeah. Although in fairness, he had about half his team hurt last year.
Yeah.
And he got hurt.
Yeah.
Mac Jones, Patriots, maybe not there
yet.
Nobody for the. Oh gosh, no, not the AFC South. I argue Russell Wilson's the worst quarterback in the AFC West. If you put Carr above him, you could say it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's going to be a. You know, 5 years ago we wouldn't have said that, but
right. I think we've gone through all of them then. So we agree that Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, Herbert, and Burrow are better, and Brady. There's six. Prescott's better. Seven, and then you could. Question whether Stafford, I'd say Stafford is, but you could question that. But I think you can clearly say, wouldn't you agree, there's seven or eight that are better.
Mm-hmm.
So he might be barely in the top 10, which he's barely in the top third. And he's getting $165 million guaranteed money. Now, granted, he's accomplished stuff. He's made a Super Bowl a couple times. He's won a Super Bowl. He's had some really good years. He is tough to defend when he's on. He seems to be rededicated, and maybe a fresh start in Denver helped compared to where he was in Seattle. And maybe he'll live up to it. We shall see. But, man, I'm still blown away by that much money for a 33-year-old quarterback who I think is on the backside of his career.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe wrong.